Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. Happy Mother's Day weekend to everyone out there that's a mother. If you've got a mother, if you're, you know, your mother's passed, but you still have fond memories, you want to get to remember her, this is the weekend we do it. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to you, Teresa.
I am so excited. We have a great family. We have four children between us. Tony, I have three. Tony has one, Genevieve. And I have Teresa. She is not a junior. Teresa, Derek, and Patrick. And we have 11 grandchildren.
Oh, that's so special. I love that.
It is. I just got to get their names out. So I just want to give them a shout out on the air. They range in age from 27 to 4. And Jackson and McKenna, Xavier and Reagan and Emma, Bella, Madison, KK, Olivia, and also Katarina and Cadence.
Those are really nice names.
Yeah, they're all wonderful. They're all wonderful. Yeah. And so tell us about your family.
I have two kids. Well, Shrek and I have two kids. We have a son and a daughter. And then we have two grand brats from our son. And so, yeah.
Do they love that you call them grand brats?
I don't care what they like.
See, that was the grandmother of the of generations gone, long gone. So I have some good news, Lizzie.
Okay.
Last night, I got rain.
Me too.
I am so excited. We got rain, and this week coming up, it looks to be like we have a couple more days' chances of getting rain. And so if you were in Port Orange, that was crazy last night, the rain that came down there and the wind?
Yes. It was a little obnoxious. If you watch any social media, you'll see it. It came down. I'd say it was like a tornado, but yeah. I mean, I'm not a meteorologist, so I can't really say that. So. But it looked pretty bad.
It did. It would look pretty, you know, everybody's safe, so there was no injuries or anything like that. But this morning when I got up, the debris on our street, it only rained for like a few minutes. And so this has been a very long drought, and I'm getting ready for it to be over.
Yeah.
Anytime now, okay? Anytime. And the meteorologists are saying we have the super El Nino that's going to happen this year, which means we're going to have less chances, knock on wood, less chances of having a hurricane. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have a wet fall, not only a wet summer because El Niños bring rain, but a wet fall and a cool winter. And so that's going to be nice. That's going to give us the rainfall we need to catch up.
The only bad thing it seems like, and like I said, I'm not a meteorologist, but it seems if we have a extremely hot summer, mm-hmm. we don't seem to get as many hurricanes, but then we have to do, it was 103 Thursday.
Isn't that
at
incredible?
My place. That, 103.
And that is unbelievable.
It's
wow.
May.
Because it's only May.
It's May.
It was really
it's
hot.
May.
Yesterday I had to sit down. I was out in the heat for a little while. And after about 45 minutes, I was feeling it.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure when you're out there, and you out there, you got to make sure your turkeys have water all the time.
Yes. And electrolytes.
Yes.
People, electrolyte yourself, please.
Yeah, because you get that low blood sugar, that kind of very tired and you're going to pass out feeling. So if you have that, you know, get some water, go sit down, get in the shade. Because it can happen very quickly.
Yeah, take frequent water breaks. That's, you know, I mean, even if you're the type of person that doesn't want to just like sit down for a minute because then you won't finish whatever your project is, set a timer on your phone like every like 15 minutes, stop and take a drink.
Especially when you're out there gardening and landscaping. Florida, it can happen real quick. North Florida, you've got some rain last night. So you're going to have more rain this weekend. Every day through Monday, it looks like chances. Pensacola, you're going to be in the mid-70s, which is so nice. Tallahassee and Gainesville, you're going to be in the high 80s. Temperatures are going to be great for gardening. Great gardening weather up in North Florida. So with the rain, that's going to loosen up the soil, and you're going to see a lot of growth happening. Central Florida, we're going to be cooler than the 90s and the 100-degree temperatures we had this week. But we have a good chance of rain every day through Tuesday. And I am looking forward to that. That is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa, you're going to be mid to high 80s. Not a lot of rain on the West Coast. East Coast, the rain's going to happen on the East Coast. Melbourne, Port St. Lucie, possible rain Sunday through Wednesday every day. And the East Coast temperatures are going to be in the 90s to high 80s. Lows in the 70s. And that's about normal for this time of the year.
Yeah.
So that's good. South Florida, rain Monday through Wednesday. Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Key West, you're going to have rain, which is so needed. It's going to be partly cloudy, and temps are going to be in the mid-80s there. So Mike in Venice, sorry, no rain this week.
Aww.
Just going to have to, you know, irrigate. And when we talk about being in a drought, we want to make sure and make this very, very clear. There's no reason to water more, okay, for your landscape, your plants that are established in the ground, okay? You're not going to need to water more. Your twice-a-week watering that we're allowed when there's no rainfall is adequate. Now, your containers, I got some new plants in the mail, and they're needing water 2-3 times a day, just, and they're in the shade yet. I've got to get them in the ground.
Right.
But they're needing 2-3 times a day. So I'm hand watering those. So you want to make sure that you're, you know, getting adequate water for yourself and for your garden. Hey, we're going to do phone calls this morning. So if you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. If you have some great memories of your mom gardening, give us a call. We'd love to hear it. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We'd love your phone call with your gardening question, 1-888-455-2967. I want to give a big shout out to all our listeners across the country and globe. We have been just getting a great response. Ohio, California, New York, Texas. Howdy, everyone. So wherever you are on the road, you can listen to us on iHeartRadio. And you can listen to the podcast on betterlawns.com or iHeart or anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can find us. Just Google Better Lawns and Gardens and Teresa Watkins, and it comes up. Let's go to John in Melbourne. Good morning, John. How are you?
Fine. Good morning, Teresa, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have a situation where I have a pandanus palm, and it's very tall, about 20, maybe even 30 feet.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it died in that hard freeze, and I don't know for sure, but there's no new growth coming back. And I did etch the bark, and I did see some kind of liquid or softness. But I have two parts of that question. Do you think it's dead? And the second part is I'm thinking of putting a crawling vine at the bottom, perhaps a bougainvillea type, but that's high maintenance.
Uh-huh.
Just so I can have it crawl up on the dead tree trunk, and I think it might work. So what do you think about that? And I'll listen to your response off the air.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. So a pandanus palm is also known as a screw pine. It's not a palm tree, but it really looks like one when you see it. I really love the idea that you obtained one, John, and you had it in your yard. The unfortunate thing is it's very tropical. It likes the temperatures 70s, 80s, 90s, and doesn't take freezes. So I don't know if it's dead or not. You should have seen some new growth coming. You say it's about 20 feet tall, so you can't really get up there and look at it you know, to see if you have something new coming up. And it might take 4 to 6 months for something to come up. Now, scraping the bark really won't help, because if it's rotting or if it just kind of melted during the winter, then the underneath the bark would be kind of damp and moist anyway. So I would try to just wait it out another month or so and see if you see any new growth. If you do want to plant something at the bottom, I love that idea. I don't know how long the palm tree or the pine tree will last. So you could put the bougainvillea up and see what happens, and it looks great. If you know, I can see you using that pine tree, the screw pine, as a trellis, but I don't know how long it will last. So I would do it, but I would wait probably another month to even 2 months, because that'll give you 6 months after the freeze, and you should have seen something by 6 months. Okay, so no need to fertilize it. Just make sure that it's getting adequate water, and let us know how you do. That's a wonderful innovative idea to use a screw pine. I'm sorry you lost it. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Happy Mother's Day, Eileen. How are you?
I'm going to be better once they put in a new air conditioner today.
Oh, no. What a time for it to break.
Worth of heat.
Oh, I can just imagine. Oh, goodness gracious.
It's been horrible.
Yeah, so you kind of had like outdoor temperatures indoors.
Yeah, we've been leaving the door to the screened-in porch open.
Uh-huh.
And it's that way we get the cool air in the morning in the house. And we've got the ceiling fans running, which, you know, in the living room, it does good, but the rest of the house, forget it.
Okay, so with the screen door open, are you getting any chickens inside your house? They're thinking it's much cooler in there with you than outside. How are your African violets doing without the air conditioning? Do they react right away?
They seem to be doing just fine.
Yeah, they love that humidity and they love that heat.
Yeah, they're doing just fine. But I wanted to say happy Mother's Day to you and Lizzie.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I hope you have, what are you doing for Mother's Day?
Well, we are going to see one of our grandchildren and my daughter, and my two other sons are in the restaurant business. So my other sons, Derek has a restaurant, two restaurants in St. Augustine that will be open and very busy for Mother's Day. And I usually can go up. And he wants me to come to dinner, but I don't like to go, you know, when it's so crowded. So, but my daughter, she's off for the weekend and she has Bella. So we are going to go see them and spend some quality time with them. My other son is a restaurant manager too, as well. So Patrick.
Very nice.
So, thank you. Well, what are your plans for Mother's Day?
probably laundry.
Well, isn't that just, that's just typical for a mother, right? Working 7 days a week. All right, hon.
So much to do.
Oh, there you go. Get your children to help you and your husband to help you. All right.
No.
She wants it done right.
I won't have clothes left.
There you go. Well, I always tell my husband that, honey, you know, there's never been a case of a man who's been shot while doing the dishes or doing laundry. So, I mean, just keeping it safe out there.
No, I don't want him doing laundry.
All right, hon. Take care. Thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day. Let's go to Carol in Lakeland. Good morning, Carol. How can I help you?
Hi there.
Hi.
Okay, so I'm staring at this 30-foot avocado tree that looks bizarre.
Okay.
I mean, it's got some branches way up high that have leaves and some that are look dead. And then down on one of the dead ones, about 10 feet up, it's got all of these branches coming out, all below.
It's all going to recover.
So even way up high?
Yeah, it will. But what I'm suggesting that you do is to bring in an arborist to come in there and help it. 30 foot tall, I don't want you cutting the branches and everything that high. But it could just use a trim. And a certified arborist would be able to do that for you. And it'll grow. It'll all come back.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. And I think we lost our bottle brush.
Oh,
that
really?
We tried to move.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, that one. Oh, you're that Carol. Thank you for calling me back. Well, I don't know. I'd have to see it, but
it's been 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah. 2 months. It's what do the leaves look like?
Well, they haven't fallen off, but they're all brown.
They're all brown. Okay. And and you can you find any green as you go up any of the branches?
Not really.
No. You know, it may just not have made it because of the heat, the lack of rain, you know. I don't know, hon.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a good try.
It was a good try. It was fun. It was a fun project.
Okay, so that's good.
Okay,
thank you so much, Carol.
For us.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy Mother's Day. Let's go to Mike in Venice. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I thought I heard a shout out earlier.
You're
correct. It's been dry down here. I live on a retention pond, and it's the lowest I've seen in 13 years.
Yeah. So, oh my goodness! And dry. It doesn't look good for you this week either. It says just dry on the West Coast.
No. So, I bought a Calathea rattlesnake this past week, and I was looking at the care of it, and one person recommended using distilled water. What I've been doing with my house plants is drawing the water 24 hours at least before I use it on house plants.
Sure.
What do you think about watering the...
Well, Calatheas, you know, they will grow outside. So, I mean, where you are, they can be an outdoor plant if we have a warm winter. But the distilled water, you can do it, or you can let the chlorine, you know, evaporate like you're doing with leaving it out 24 hours. I think that's fine. It just depends on how chlorinated your water is.
Yeah, that's correct.
You know,
well, I tend to, like most people, overwater my house plants. So I think what throws us off is the air conditioning will dry the top inch or two, but the bottom of the pot may still be damp.
Yes, and that's you got to go down more than a couple of inches. I say to the second knuckle, and you know you can always you know it just depends. You want to make sure you're watering so, Mike, so that it gets down to the bottom. You don't want to keep giving it little bits of water so that the water stays wet on the top, but the bottom roots don't get the actual water. So you could, if you wanted to, put a string in the bottom of the pot and put it to have a little saucer of water underneath it, and it could soak up the water that way. But just checking it once a week and giving it some water once a week, it'll be fine.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks to Teresa.
You're
nice
welcome.
To hear it from you.
Nice to hear from you. Tell
Bye-bye.
Lori I said hi. Bye-bye. And so if you have a gardening question, we got it off to a big start this morning. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680.
I thought you were asking me the question the way she just looked at me. She like looked at me so intense, like, do you have a gardening question? Why, yes, I do. Hold on one second. Let me pull out my scroll of questions.
So what are you doing in your garden this week?
This week, just praying over it, pretty much. You know, my onions, I don't know. They're looking kind of raggedy for onions, but I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I did them in the raised bed the last 2 years, and I got the big gigantic Vidalia ones,
yes.
And these are just like, we don't like the ground, so I don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
It might be a little bit more of, because when you have a raised bed, you have a little bit more, you use organic material more.
Yeah, true.
Whereas in the ground, especially, you know, in Lake County, it's a really dry, sandy soil.
Well, what I did is the last 2 years where I have them, I turned that into my garden area, and I've been dumping the droppings from the turkeys in there,
sure.
too. So, maybe. We'll see. Whatever. You know what? I'm not holding out hope this year. Gigantic onions, though. But, yeah.
There you go. I mean, how did people live 200 years ago, 300 years ago? We just went on the Revolutionary Garden Tour, and these magnificent gardens that have all these vegetables and rye and just, you know, where they could grow bread and wheat.
Yeah.
How do they do it? And what would they do in a drought? Oh, my goodness. We are so blessed right now.
I have no clue what they did. Seriously, like, especially here in Florida, because they still have the same soil as we do now. So
yeah.
I don't know. But you know what? Hey, I'm holding out hope.
There you go. So Carolyn Tampa sent me an email. She said, Teresa, is it too late to fertilize my lawn? And so, Carol, thank you for the email. No, it's not too late yet. So most of the state of Florida, and I would probably venture to say all of Florida, does have a fertilizer rule that you cannot fertilize between June 1st and through through September 31st. So you want to make sure if you're going to get that fertilizing down, you need to do it right away. You got about 2-3 weeks to do it. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We would love to hear from you. You know, Lizzie, my mom loved flowers, and she had 6 children in 9 years. There wasn't a lot of time to garden. And but she would just take us on walks all the time out in nature, just walking everywhere. All 6 kids, we'd just go for a walk in Scotland, North Carolina, wherever we were, she would walk us. And she loved singing while we were on the walk. So she would sing the whole time.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I have great memories of my mom singing. But then towards the end of the walk, we were so tired that we'd be crying and singing at the same time. We would just want to go home.
That's so funny.
Yeah, we were really little. But guess what? She put us to bed at 6:30, 7 o'clock at night.
And she knew.
We were out.
She knew. Oh,
so,
my gosh.
I love that.
I love that.
Yeah. So Carol from Tampa, she sent me a great email about fertilizing. We do have the opportunity to fertilize until June 1st. You want to use a slow-release fertilizer, okay, with no phosphorus. 15-0-15 is a good analysis. Why no phosphorus? Okay, that's important. Most of the algae blooms that we get in lakes come from phosphorus. The nitrogen and phosphorus, a little bit is from the decomposition of plants in the lake or water. But a lot of it's coming from, I would say the majority is coming from homes that fertilize. So one, it's kind of funny to say this, but never fertilize before a rainstorm. Yes, we will be getting rainstorms eventually, and you never want to fertilize before a rainstorm. You lose about 75% of that fertilizer that you put down to stormwater runoff. Okay, so always fertilize after a rainstorm. And why doesn't it need phosphorus? Well, phosphorus helps plants develop flowers, fruit, and root system. Okay, well, turf does not need to have phosphorus because it doesn't have flowers and it doesn't have fruit. But it does have a root system. But the majority of Florida has enough phosphorus in their soils that you don't have to put down extra for the roots. Now, this is determined, especially you want to confirm that, get a soil test before you fertilize. The Agritech soil kit, which you can get, which is the University of Florida's soil test, you can get it at the County Extension office, or you can go online and get the Agritech soil test, the Agritech, one word, and ship it off to the University of Florida. They have a quick turnaround. You will get it right back, and they will tell you what your soil actually needs. All right, so that is preferable to do that before you fertilize. Also, too, if you want to do your plants, you want to make sure you can tell them that you getting turf, you want to fertilize your turf, or you want to do fruit trees, they're going to ask you what you're trying to fertilize, and that's important. So for your vegetable and fruit plantings right now, you want to make sure that you're maintaining the 3 inches of mulch. That's going to help when you do irrigate the water from evaporating. You want to keep bananas and papayas moist, so it's important. They need moisture to produce fruit, and you can feed them monthly. And you'll have flowers by late summer and then bananas in the fall. You want to fertilize one last time for spring your citrus, your grapes, and your other fruit trees that you have, the apples and the peaches. Right now is the time to do it. When we were up in Virginia last week, the blackberries were all blooming everywhere. Up and down the highway, yum, you could see the blackberries. Here in Florida, our blueberries and blackberries are ready to harvest. So as soon as you get the fruit off of your blueberries and your blackberries, you can prune it. Okay, that's a really good time to kind of gauge when you should prune something is when you harvest the fruit. Also, too, you want to feed your vegetable plantings monthly. Okay, you can do a balanced fertilizer, 666-888-10-10-10. That's fine. Also, too, if you've had trouble with nematodes or other pest issues and diseases, now's the time to go ahead and solarize your garden area, your vegetable area, so that you can go ahead and plant in August again. Also, too, when you get to August, going to find that some seeds you're not going to be able to find, this is the time now to go ahead and buy your seeds. Look at the seed catalogs, order your seeds, so that when the time comes in August for your fall vegetable garden, you have them all ready to go. So let's go to Jeff in North Tallahassee. Good morning, Jeff. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. I'm out here looking at a beautiful garden here. I'm about 20 miles north of Tallahassee. We're finally getting some lovely rain up here. I wanted to ask you a question. I had some fabulous tomatoes last year, Heritage tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I could not get the same variety this year, and so I planted my pepper plants where I had planted my tomato plants last year, and lo and behold, about a week or so ago, I saw some tomato plants coming in around the pepper plants. And I thought, my goodness, these must be some of those tomato plants from last year. So fortunately, I was able to get 7 real nice plants and transplant them. My question is, so these tomato plants, if you keep them going for quite a while, they do seed themselves. Is that correct in the ground?
Well, you probably had a couple of tomatoes fall off and leave seeds. So the fruit fell off and into the ground and it seeded.
That definitely happened.
It does, yeah.
Well, that's... So I'm so pleased again. So I do have, I had the most fabulous tomatoes last year. So I'm sitting here, I planted, I was able to... I recover 7 of those plants, and so I've replanted them. But I've got tomato plants that are about 2 foot high now, my other tomato plants that I bought this year. My garden's doing great. My yellow crookneck squash is just, I'm out here harvesting it now this morning. But we've got rain up here, and it's getting good moist ground, so we're doing fine up here now.
Wonderful, Jeff. I'm very excited for you. So take one of your heritage tomatoes that you get off of these plants that have reseeded itself, and go ahead and save the seeds for next year. Okay, so just save.
So you just take the tomato, cut it open, and there's the seeds inside.
Mm-hmm.
You what do you have to do? Dry them out or what?
Dry them out. They're going to be in a kind of a little gelous, a gel kind of material liquid, and you want to wash them off, pat them with a paper towel, dry them off, and put them in an envelope. And once they dry, and they'll be ready to reseed in August.
Would it be best to refrigerate them or just leave them in an envelope?
Well, it just depends. I mean, you don't necessarily want them to dry out so completely that, you know, if you've got 100 degrees there, you know, but it doesn't need chilling either. So you just put them in a dry area, and if that is the vegetable bin in your refrigerator, you can do that. That's not going to hurt them.
Well, hooray. Nature did it for me this year.
There you go.
Year.
What a
so
great surprise.
Pleased.
Oh, good job. Good job. I love
thank
that you do
so
that.
Thank you so much. Love your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff, for calling in. Isn't that just energizing? I love that. Well, thank you, Jeff, for calling in. We're going to be right back with my top 5 plants that have mother in them. There you go for Mother's Day. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk, Talk and Entertainment. There you go.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top 5.
My top 5 this week are plants with the name mother in it. So my number 5 is 3 different plants, okay? Or 2 plants and 1 common name. Mother of Thousands, which is a Kalanchoe, and Mother of Millions, which is also a Kalanchoe, a different variety, or Bad Mother. These are a succulent plant known for producing little tiny plantlets along the edge of its leaves, symbolizing fertility and maternal care. Why is it sometimes called Bad Mother? Because it drops its babies. So number 4, Motherwort. Motherwort is an herb traditionally used for heart and reproductive health, named for its historical association with maternal well-being. Number 3, Mother of thyme, also known as creeping thyme, belongs to the mint family. It's native to Europe, Western Asia, and Africa. It has beautiful, tiny, tubular pink to purple flowers in the springtime, which attract bees and butterflies. And number one, did I get them all? Yes, I did. Number one, chrysanthemums or mums. Chrysanthemums are commonly called mums, and it's the official flower for Mother's Day.
Very interesting.
Symbolizing love and respect for mothers.
Very interesting.
So I wanted to go more in depth with saving tomato seeds for Jeff. I went through that really, really quickly and kind of sloppy, so I wanted to make sure he knows exactly what to do. If you'd like to save an heirloom tomato seed, you want to select a nice, good, healthy tomato. Then you extract the seeds by cutting it in half and squeezing the seeds out. You want to put them in a little jar with a little bit of water, and then you want to let it set for about 3 to 4 days. That gelatinous material is going to disengage from it, and you can take the seeds out. You want to dry them off for a few days. Make sure they get nice and dry. You do that with a paper towel. And then when it's dry, you put them in an envelope, put the name of the type of tomato it is, and save it, and then you can plant it again in August.
Yes.
So that's a little bit of help. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So now here's the difference between mother of thousands and mother of millions. So these are Kalanchoes or Kalanchos, whichever way you'd like to say it, are fast-growing succulents. They are from Madagascar, and they differ in leaf shape and plantlet placement. So those little plants that are growing on the outside of the leaf that they drop are called plantlets, and they have different growth habits. So the mother of thousands is wide, broad, scattered or toothed leaves that grow in a branching upright habit, and the leaves are thicker and can be up to 2 inches in length. The mother of millions has slender, oval, smooth leaves that grow in a rosette type of designed shape on the stem, and the leaves are typically green and can be so small as a penny. So they're really small. The mother of thousands, the plantlets form on the margins of the leaves, creating a fringe-like appearance. Mother of millions, I'm sorry, that was mother of millions. Mother of thousands, the plantlets form along the margins of the leaves. And the mother of millions forms at the tips of the leaves. The mother of millions produces multiple stalks from a single plant. The mother of thousands grows upright. That can get a little confusing, but there is a difference between mother of thousands and mother of millions.
Hmm. I've never heard of them before.
Really? Do you have a picture up there?
I am in the process of typing it in right now.
Oh, I can give you some because they do produce millions. And so they can be kind of invasive. You don't want to get them started. But when they drop their babies.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, she's looking.
I'm looking at the picture right now.
But they are succulents, and they do take over.
Yeah.
So you want to be careful for them.
Yeah, they look like they would definitely take over.
Yeah, especially with all the plantlets they produce.
Okay.
1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 and let us know what you'd like to do. If you have memories of your mother, your grandmother, we'd love to hear those as well. We'd love to do that.
Okay, wait. Okay, so when I looked at the mother of millions and mothers of thousands, right?
Yes, right.
Okay, it also is known as the devil's backbone.
Yeah, that's a common name of it, too. I mean, that's a kind of an insult to the mothers.
I don't know if it's an insult or if it's a compliment. For me, I'd consider that a compliment.
Yeah, so, but see, here's to me, devil's backbone to me is a different, totally different plant.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So I don't see it as being, it is kind of a succulent, but.
Right. I don't know why they did that, but yeah, it's like combining the two or the three of them actually. So
yeah. All right. Devil's backbone is a different plant.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought because I'm like looking, but I don't understand why it's saying all of the above. So okay, I like Teresa's version better
because it's the internet.
You know, it's never wrong. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to say, if you'd like to get the newsletter, you can go to my website, which is www.she-consulting.com. And it's right there on the landing page. And you can just put in your first name if you want and your email address. And I do not spam. I do not send or sell your addresses. They're all private with me. If you'd like to know more about our tours, we do have some space available on our Buffalo tour, which is going to be very thrilling. It was a life changer for me as far as landscape design to go and see the Garden Walk Buffalo. It was wonderful. We do also go over to Canada, so you will need a passport. But you can see all of our tours up on our website, which is artinbloomgardentours.com. We'd love to have you join us. We have a great time. So, Lizzie, so tomorrow, now, if you get rain, are your turkeys covered? Your turkeys are covered.
Yes, yes. They all have their own, like, we have four run areas that are set up for them. Mm-hmm. And they all have their own housing, like overhang housing, mm-hmm. gazebos, I guess you would call it. So, yeah, they're covered.
Okay, good. I worry about them. How is Gerald?
He's doing good. I mean, I didn't realize till the beginning of this year that, you know, I'm very lucky if he continues to live for another year, because the broad-breasted turkeys are only supposed to live maybe 2 years, because, you know, that's what they're for, is to be eaten.
Yes.
And, but yeah, so he had his 2 year birthday, last month, and he is just feisty as can be. He's a lover to people, but he's trying to fight all the other boys. And, yeah, he's doing really good. He's huge.
That's great. So what else can you be doing this month? We talked about you could go ahead and solarize your garden area if you have problems. It will help you control nematodes and diseases. So also look at your fruit trees. You can control fruit worms and leaf spots on vegetables with natural sprays as needed. That Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew is excellent for that. You want to look for aphids. Walk your yards once a week and just look at the bottom of the leaves, the top of the leaves, and see if you notice the aphids. You can use an insecticidal soap spray for your aphids. And then also, too, again, very important, go ahead now and get your seeds for August. You know, spend the next few weeks looking through catalogs, going online and seeing what you'd like to plant for this year's fall garden. And that way you'll get them in time and have them. When you look in August, they're going to be pretty much picked through if you want a special variety.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you want to make sure you do that. Indoors, you want to make sure that you are checking the water needs daily, especially if it's on the patio or pool area. Plants that are wilting often. If you have plants that droop, that means not necessarily that they need to be watered. It could be also the symptom for overwatering. Okay. So either way, the roots are getting bloated and they can't absorb water, or they're dried out, they're desiccated and can't absorb water. So again, it's always a great idea, like Mike says, to stick your finger in the pot and go down to the second knuckle. And if it's moist, damp, or wet, cool, you do not need to water it. We're going to have a great, great guest the next hour. We're going to be talking about some new, brand new Encore azaleas. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.